Good morning. It's good to be with you as a church. I'm so sorry that I can't see you. I would love to be in front of you, to smile at you, to shake your hands, and to welcome you. I'm sorry that that's not a possibility today, and hopefully sometime soon we'll be able to meet together in person and see each other and say hi to each other and talk to each other and shake each other's hands. I wanted today, though, since it's Father's Day, I want to speak to the fathers, and especially to the younger fathers. I think some of the things that we need to do as fathers are gifts that we can give our children. And today I want to talk about six gifts that we can give to our children. I know a number of years ago I said to our church, I said, you know, when our daughter turns 30, and she's not in prison, I will then give some of the best sermons that you've ever heard on child raising. Well, 2 weeks ago, our daughter turned 40, and she's not in prison. No, we're so grateful for our girls. We have three daughters. They're all married to men who are serving in some sort of ministry or missionary work, and we're grateful for them. But back to the topic here, I want to talk to fathers first of all about the importance of fathers. Children without a father are at a distinct disadvantage, okay? And I realize that in the congregation like yours, there are going to be some who don't have a father for whatever reason. Sometimes it's premature death, sometimes it's desertion or whatever. And it's hard. And so I want to encourage those mothers who are raising their children on their own. There is hope. There is hope. I've seen that happen. I've seen it with my sister-in-law. She raised four children on her own after her husband deserted her. And they have turned out to be beautiful children, godly children. So there's tremendous hope. But there's a dark side too, if there's no father present. And the mother, let's say, isn't strong enough. Some statistics that I picked up here. Children are five times as likely to commit suicide if they don't have a father. There's something about a father in their life that brings stability. They're eight times as likely to go to prison as a teenager. It's unreal how important the father is. Nine times as likely to drop out of school. 20 times as likely to have behavioral issues, and 32%, or 32 times as likely to run away from home. So, dads, don't ever think you have very little to do with your children. You have. Cut out time, make time for your children. And I want to talk about four gifts you can give your children. Four gifts, okay? The first being, or actually six. The first being a spiritual leadership in the home. Dads, be the spiritual leader in the home. I want to share with you from 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's really the sad story of Eli. Eli, the prophet, the high priest in the land of Israel, he has a lot of responsibility. As the high priest, he oversees the tabernacle worship. He oversees the offerings, and not only as the high priest, but he also served as the judge at the time. So he was constantly dealing with people who had issues, who had problems, and he would have to make judgment regarding those issues. And he served his country well, but he neglected his children, his two sons. And we read that his sons were reprobates. They were scoundrels. They sinned greatly against God and against the people of God. We're told that when the offering was brought into the temple, they were to receive the offering and to burn it or to broil it or whatever, and then they were allowed to take some of that meat for themselves. But they, instead, they would demand the meat before it even got to the altar, and they would take the choicest piece of meat from the offering for themselves. And then they might roast it or whatever way they wanted to do it or cook it. And they forced the people, and the people would complain. And not only that, but they even went further. They were perverse men who took sexual advantage of the young ladies as they came to the temple, and they would rape them. They would have sex with them, and they did it right in the sacred spaces of the tabernacle. They brought great shame to the ministry of the work. And Eli, instead of being outraged at their reprobate ways, instead, he just rebukes them. And it's not even a harsh rebuke. As the judge of the land, he should have had them taken out to the edge of the city or out to the edge of the country there, and or the city, and stoned to death. That's what God called for. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He just gave them a mild rebuke. And as a result, he failed, and his sons would die sometime later in a battle. It was part of God's judgment. And as fathers, we are called to really take care of our children, to oversee them, to provide leadership to them. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll come back to this verse later on. Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training. It means you don't let them go. Training means you train them. You discipline them, you guide them, you direct them, you go over the same things over and over again. Instruction, that should happen daily. Instruction in the ways of God. A father plays an incredibly significant role in the life of their children, and especially in the spiritual life of their children. You know, do you love God's word? Children are watching that. I knew as I grew up, I was fortunate. My father was a dairy farmer. He was a very, very quiet man in the church. And yet, one-on-one, he was a real conversationalist. But I remember every evening after he'd come in from milking the cows at 7 o'clock at night, he would sit in his chair, pull out his Bible, and read from his Bible. And he taught us that way. And then at dinner time, you know, he would pray for us. And there were 10 of us children in the family, so he had a lot of kids to take care of. And I can say that all of the children have really turned out well. So it's a credit to my dad and to his spiritual leadership. I just want to share with you the influence of a father. This is some statistics that I picked up somewhere. It says if a child is the first in a household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability everyone else in the household will become Christians. That's all, 3.5%. But it's 3.5%. I've seen it where one son brought his whole family to church, and his mom and dad and his other brother, they became Christians, and his dad became one of the elders in the church down the road. Good things can happen. So I don't want to discourage young people regarding their parents, but it's just more difficult. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. But if the father is the first, the probability rises to 93%. Dads, you play an incredibly important role in the family. Albert Schweitzer said, example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. It's example. So Fathers, be an example, be a leader in your home, okay? Teach your children from the Word, read the Word to them, talk to them along the way. Number two, the second gift you can give your children, and this one is really important as well, love their mother. Why? Because when you love their mother, that gives them security. It really does. Ephesians 5:25-28 says, husbands, love your wives. How? Well, as Christ loved the church, he gave his life up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water and the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church. Can you imagine, dads? We have the privilege of loving our wives and helping them and presenting them to God as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And I hope you communicate that regularly to your wife. And then let your children see that you love each other. It may mean going out in the having date nights, okay, and telling your children, we're going out on a date tonight, and we want to have some time together by ourselves. It's one way to show your love to your wife. And it's so important that your kids know that you love your spouse. It's incredibly important. I saw that recently when, now not recently, but years ago, when our daughter was probably around 12 years old. And I was taking her to school, as was my practice. I would take them to school and drop them off. And I took her to school. And as we went to school, I would always ask, you know, how can I pray for you? And then I'd pray for them. And I remember our middle daughter saying to me, Dad, you know, my friend, her dad walked out on her and the mother. And so I asked her, I said, well, how does that make you feel? Well, Dad, I'm scared. Are you going to walk out on Mom and us? Oh, that cut to the heart. Oh, that cut to the heart. And I assured her and said, look, Mom and I, we have made a lifelong commitment of love to each other. And we really, really mean it. And even though sometimes it might be difficult to work through things, we are committed to staying together and to working together. And I told her how much I loved her as well. When dads walk out, it really unsettles the family. I recall another case where the mother had been cheating on her husband and had walked out on the family, left behind three sons and the father. And I took the oldest son out for coffee one evening. I said, let's go out and talk. So he said, sure, I'd love to do that. So we went out and we had a talk together. And one of the questions I posed to him is, what do you think of your parents splitting up? And he put his head down. And finally, he lifted it up and he looked at me and he says, Harry, it sucks. It sucks. He says, all my life, I thought that my mom and dad would spend their lives together, that they'd grow old together, and that when we got married, they'd both be there as mom and dad, that they would be able to raise our grandchildren together. And now they've gone their separate ways. He says, it just sucks. He says, I'm devastated by it. And you could see it too. It just unsettles the family. So husbands, love your wives. That's one of the gifts you can give to your children. The third one is make memories for your children. Make memories for your children. Do things with them. Spend time with them. And if possible, do it daily. I know one of the routines that I had is I would take them to school in the morning, and then The board realized that I was spending so much time at church, they made me then leave at 3 o'clock and pick up the children. And so I would go and we would go hiking into the woods together then afterwards. Or we would do a paper route. Or I would play basketball or volleyball with them. I would just do things with them from about 3 o'clock on till probably close to seven. Then I'd leave back or go back to work at church again. It's important that you build these memories. Go on holidays together. It doesn't have to be expensive. Go to a park together. I know what we would do is on Friday nights, I would try to book that always off and spend time then with my wife and with my children. We would go swimming together. We would go maybe out for dinner together. We would just do things together. Sometimes we'd go to the lake together in the summertime and we'd have dinner there. But we'd do things together, building memories. I took them on several trips to Mexico where we built houses and we conducted vacation Bible school. And all of those were memorable events that happened in our lives. One day when our girls had come home, they were adults at this time, and they'd come home from all over the world, and I mean all over the world. One was in Ireland, one was in Africa, and one was in Australia. And I know I wasn't very happy that they were all away from us, but that was the reality. And I always told my wife, I'd sooner have my kids halfway around the world in the will of God than at home out of the will of God. And here they were serving in ministries and missions. And I was just thrilled that they were doing that, but I missed them so much. And they came home all about the same time. It was a summer evening. We had a nice little dinner together around the dining room table. And then Lorraine had baked a pie. In fact, it was in the oven, an apple pie. And so while we were waiting for that, we were sitting at the table and we were talking I just shared with them and I just said, you know, let's talk about some of the memorable events that we had as a family. And so I told them some stories and they could not remember any of those memorable events. But they told me stories that I couldn't remember, but we had such a good time telling stories of memories that we had. I recall reading of one man, he was a pastor. And he wanted to build memories with his son. So he took his son fishing. And at the end of the day, the father wrote in his diary, "Took my son fishing today. A complete waste of time." And then, for the same day, the journal entry for his son read, "Went fishing with my dad today. The best day of my life." So sometimes we don't know how it's going to impact our children. What may seem like a waste of time might be one of the most memorable days in their lives. So build those kind of relationships or those experiences into your life. I have a friend, his daughter, unfortunately, made some bad decisions. And she married a man she shouldn't have married. They were into drugs and alcohol, and so they lost their three children. And so the grandparents said, we'll take them in and we'll raise them. And so they did. And this guy, he was incredibly, what shall I say, poor in finances. He didn't have much by way of money. But every month he would take each of those children out on a date night. Just him. And there were twin girls. He'd take the one girl out one day, and then the next day he'd take the next girl out. And then he'd take his grandson out as well. And they could choose. They could choose to go out for a meal together with him. Or they could go to the mall and buy something. But it was very limited. But he was building memories into these kids. And I complimented him. I thought, wow, this guy is modeling how to be a good parent and how to create memories for the children. And those children loved him and loved his wife. So create memories with your children. Then number four, gift number four, teach your kids respect. Folks, if we don't teach our children respect, who will? Teach them to respect the police. Teach them to respect their teachers. Teach them to respect their pastor, those that are over them. Teach them respect. I was reading with all the violence that's been happening, the marches in the United States, and some of those marches have turned out so bad, so poorly. But Tony Evans, he's a pastor, a black pastor, by the way, but he said, I taught my children early on to always respect authority. So when they were at church, they respected those who were in authority over them. They respected their pastors. They respected their Sunday school. They respected those that were old. They respected all people. And he said, I'd also taught them when it comes to the police. You treat the police with tremendous respect. You say, yes, sir. No, sir. You don't lip off at the police. You answer their questions. And you do it respectfully. And he says, and now I'm teaching my grandchildren the same thing. Treat them with respect. Treat people with respect. So one of the gifts you can give your children is to teach them respect. Teach them to serve. Teach them to respond with obedience the first time you're asked. Oh, yes, and teach them to respect their mother. That was an important one in our home. You never sass at mom. If you want to incur the wrath of dad, be sassy to your mother. Well, they didn't do that. They knew better. Number five here, the fifth gift. Encourage your kids. Encourage your kids. Listen to this. Fathers, it could be parents. Do not exasperate your children. That's from Ephesians 6:4. We exasperate our children when we expect things that are beyond their ability. Okay, and children come with different abilities. Some do really, really well academically, and others struggle so much with academics. And we need to be careful that we don't demand more from them than they are capable of delivering. And so, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Be in their corner for them. Yes, be in their corner. Give the gift of presence. And by the way, one of the things that's so meaningful to them is if you're there on the sidelines when they're in sports or when they're doing their music, if you're there cheering them on, listen, folks, they can pick out your voice like a piano tuner can pick out a key that's out of tune. They can pick up your voice right away. They know your voice, and they may not want to look at you, but they are encouraged by that. Many of you know Ravi Zacharias, the apologist who died recently of cancer. He died quite suddenly as well of cancer. But one of his students was saying that he was so impressed with Ravi because every time his children had some sort of concert, some sort of sports event or whatever, Ravi would leave where he was working and he would fly down, spend time with his children, even if it meant flying back out again that same evening. But he would be there, sure to be there with his children. And that's the way we encourage our kids, by the gift of presence, by not demanding more of them than they are capable. And finally, another really important gift is the gift of time. The gift of time. Invest time with them. That gives them significance. In a survey of school children, I read that one of the top five qualities is spelled T-I-M-E, time. That's the way you show that you love them. Children need time. And they need time so they can ask questions of you. I remember as our children were growing up, when it came to talking with their mom and dad, whenever there were major issues, conflict issues, or decisions that they had to make, they almost invariably came to me and they asked, "Dad, what do I do here?" When our youngest daughter was pregnant with her second child, and the doctors told her, "There's something really wrong with your daughter, or with your child, and do you want to consider abortion?" And she just said, "No, never." And the first thing she did after that is she phoned me and she says, "Can I come and talk?" So she came from Langley to Maple Ridge in my office there, and we shared together and we prayed together. It was good to be together. So that's the one of the gifts you can give your children, the gift of time. Children need time. They need it. An anonymous father wrote, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a little child. Spend time with your children. I know in my own life, too, I was busy as can be in the church, in the life of the church. And I remember the one Sunday, or the one weekend, Friday night, in the summertime, I found that every Friday night I had to go to a wedding practice. And every Saturday morning or Saturday sometime, I had to go to a wedding. And weddings tend to extend a long time. There's the wedding ceremony, which the couple wanted to go real quickly. Then there's a reception that seems to drag on and on and on. And sometimes, you know, we would spend 10 hours or more tied up with the wedding. And I remember the one Saturday morning, or Saturday at lunchtime, talking to our daughter and just saying, "You know, Mom and Dad have to go to a wedding today, and then we're going to the reception, so we'll be home late tonight. Are you girls going to be okay?" And my oldest daughter was so frustrated with her dad. She says, "Dad, you're my father, but you're never around." Oh, that cut to the heart. And I told her, I said, "Okay, I'm going to make a deal with you girls right now." I says, "I'm going to go to this wedding and to this reception. But after this, I will not go to a reception unless you girls are going to come, are invited and are willing to come along. If you're not, I will do the wedding that I have. And then I will come straight home and then we'll do something together as a family." And so that was a compromise for that summer. And then I told him, I said, "The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to cut my weddings down to one a month, just one a month. We've got another pastor, he can help out as well, or a couple pastors, they can help out as well. I don't need to do it all." And so that's the way we did it. But children want mom and dad around, and especially when there's holidays, you know, on weekends, they want their children around. No amount of success can compensate for failure in the home. So what priority are you giving your children? Or your grandparent? What priority are you giving your grandchildren? So dads, I don't want this sermon to be a whipping. I want this instead to be an encouragement to you. You can do this. You really can. Just not on your own. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask your wife to help you. And thirdly, ask your children, "How am I doing as a dad?" And I mean that. I've done that a number of times in my life where I've asked our children, "How am I doing as a father? Am I too harsh on you? Am I too soft on you? Do I encourage you enough? Am I at enough of your events?" And I recall the one time our youngest daughter saying, when I asked her how I was doing as a father, she broke down and started crying. And I said, "Why? What's wrong?" She says, "Dad, you treat me like an adult. I'm a child. I want you to protect me. And so I had to make some changes. So to your fathers, I just want to encourage you, okay? Things can be better. Check your priorities. Be intentional. Slow down. Step up to the plate. Get in the picture. And when you look back years from now, both you and your family will be glad you did. So here's the assignment for dads. It's Father's Day. And I want to encourage everyone to honor their fathers today. But for the fathers, I have an assignment for you. It's going to take you all day to do this assignment. Have a great day. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for fathers, and thank you for the role of the Christian fathers in homes. And I just pray, Lord, that all of us, including myself, will step up to the plate. Me as a grandfather, some of these men as fathers, that we will give our children our best, that we will be great models, loving the Lord, loving our wives, loving our children, spending time with them, giving them the gifts that they need, the real gifts that matter. Not the gifts of money necessarily or things, but the gift of time and love. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless each of these men in their ministry. Amen. God bless you all.